Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, we are actually coming to you live, and this is May up here in New York, and it's a really gorgeous day, very warm. Who would think that this was actually February 1? And it's a few days now before Chinese New Year, and I don't know, what was it that you were saying, Cynthia, my partner over there, and saying that it's miserable?
I want to start the year over. It's a rainy day Monday down here in Nashville, but it's warm, so, you know, at least we don't have that. And I think the sun may come out a little bit later. It was 70 degrees here yesterday.
Oh, well, you had it better, but I mean, it's not, let's put it this way, it's not cold, but I what's flipping me out here is the fact that we have this Zika virus and this mosquitoes. I don't need them to be breeding out here, you know, and the warmer it is, even though we would love it for winter, it doesn't kill off the bugs. If people understand it, they don't kill off the bugs that are normally only for the summer and warm weather. And now we'll have an abundance of it, more than we would
exactly.
ever want.
Exactly. I mean, that's here we have, it's, you know, ticks. And
yes.
The weather won't kill off the bugs. Plus, too, up north, not so much here because we had a lot of rain, but up, you know, you need the snow or else you're going to have a drought come summer.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's great to say, oh, I hate the snow, I hate the winter, but it does serve its purpose. And really, really, this winter, it's been, at least in our part of the country, bizarre. And the precipitation level has been low.
Yes, the same thing. We had the same thing. And in lots of ways, I was glad for the blizzard last week. Who would believe it? A week ago, we had this huge storm.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
That's crazy.
And now it's like, oh, we're back up in the weather. And, of course, today is a caucus in Iowa, and every candidate's out there. I mean, I've never seen so many out. It's really bizarre. And there were many people that said they didn't know still who they wanted to vote for.
Well, it certainly is going to be an interesting – I call it Circus Maximus on both sides. It's like the gladiators and the class clowns, and I don't know. And then now Michael Bloomberg's thinking about throwing his hat into the ring, which certainly will
upset the apple cart all the way around.
Yeah, stir up a whole other hornet's nest and dust. But, you know, the one good thing I will say about the whole thing, May, is that people seem to really be paying attention to it. Now, whether or not they go out to the polls and vote, that's another story, and historically, it's not been represented that way. A very small percentage of our voting population actually vote.
Oh, absolutely. And they were telling, I mean, every camp was saying, just go out and vote. No matter what you do, just go out and vote. And it's true. I mean, that's something that's always been said. Even if you don't like one candidate, we're not talking about just the one candidate. We're just saying, go out and vote. And you need that. You can't make
privilege.
A change without it.
Right.
You know, you got to have your voice heard, and the only way is for you. You know, I've heard more people when we're doing campaigning, and I remember they said, oh, what's the difference? Well, you know, with that attitude, no one's going to get anywhere.
There will be no difference, yeah. And
there really will now.
My whole thing with this, and you know how political I am, I get into discussions with people, and the minute they tell me that they didn't exercise their right to vote, I'm like, stop. You have no dog in this hunt, then. You can have an opinion, but you didn't vote. So, see, you are part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So, it is important. You know, and social media in a lot of ways has you know, moved this locomotive along where people can – it's a double-edged sword. There's good and there's bad because everyone believes what they see on Facebook. They believe everything they read, that's, you know, the truth.
That's the God-honest truth, yes.
Right, You know, it just, I imagine too, and I'm going to throw this out to you because I saw somebody had posted some pictures. I don't know who it was, and you were in them. How do you handle when you see someone posting a picture of you with John Lennon or any other the myriad people that you knew worked with? How do you feel when they mistell the story about that picture? Like they were there when you know that that's not how it happened. How
you know,
do you handle
it? I do get upset because I've been, you know, I've been on the receiving end like everybody, and that goes with everybody that's around, and they like to tell the story. And a lot of them say, well, you know, this is what was said. They've also misinterpreted certain things. Like even in my first book, although it was a good book, a lot of stories were left out. A lot of story has been mistold again, you know. And again, it's that if you tell it enough times the way it went in a different way, it becomes the truth, and that's not the way it actually happened. I mean, like when because the publisher, original publisher I had, they wanted more salacious because they were coming off the book of about the Doors, and it was very salacious, very, you know, and I'm coming off from a different way. And then, you know, so someone said, oh, but he did this to you. I said, yeah, but it wasn't the real way it actually happened. But they told it, the editors changed it around, making it a little bit better with another, with one of my other co-authors. And you know, and my, and then they tell it differently, you know, and I do have, there were bad moments. And there were good moments. To me, thank God, the good moments outshine the bad moments. And mm-hmm. And what I don't like is when people come in and they say, I know that this and this happened. Really? Were you there? Were you? I didn't realize you were sleeping in my bed with me and John mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember you. So it's, and then they take somebody else's word. I said they were not there. So for me, it really is a big problem. That goes, you know, I used to have these conversations with Cynthia. And I said, nobody realizes that we have kept a lot of it under wraps. You know, we're just mm-hmm. tired of it. But you know what? I will – we've talked about me and Cynthia many times. And, you know, we – you know, I will defend how I – what it was because it was my history. It wasn't
right.
anybody
and it
else's
is your
history.
Story. And,
it is
and
mine.
For a lot of reasons and for a lot of things that are none of anybody's business, you've chosen to protect a lot of people and not tell things that could be hurtful to people that are still around. And for that, I applaud you, kid, because you really didn't have to take that high road. But I can't. I really can't imagine what it must be like to see somebody post a picture and say what happened in the picture and you know flat out, no, that's not how it happened. Because if you go on to argue the point, then it's a never-ending, it's like a hamster wheel.
Oh, it is. And then, you know what, I remember, what was it, a security, you know, a guy, whatever they call them, you know, and he dealt with a lot of... you know, people who threaten other people, you know, a terrorist expert, the word I was looking for. And he once said to me, don't engage. That's all they want.
Mm-hmm.
Don't engage with people like that. You know, it's a never-ending battle, and it's better to not. Because that's all they want, is for you to engage with them, for them to just get on the I don't let it bother me on that level anymore. And I know it gets certain people angry, and it's happened, and I see it, and I go, you know what? It didn't happen to you. I know the full story. And there were a lot of other people that I know that were there with me that know the true story. And, you know, it's okay. If that's what you want to say, you know, then you have a sorry life because you have to make up these stories.
Exactly.
And at least I can say.
May, I mean, the people need to understand, when you were with John Lennon, you were very young. And also, too, there was no precedent for how famous the Beatles became. There really wasn't. So for them, even as people, as ordinary everyday people, how they reacted or didn't react to fame and all the ups and downs that brought with it, there was no handbook for them. You know, so anybody who would interpret what happened between you and John Lennon as, oh, how could she, you know, he left, he walked, they don't understand. It was a complex set of circumstances that occurred, and with no handbook. No, well, this is how you do this. This is how you handle this. This is how you maintain your privacy. I think I commend you. I think you've done a really great job of keeping your chin up. Hasn't been easy.
No, and I, you know what? It I learned a lot, and it was great because Cynthia needed. She was terrific. We used to sit down, we had conversations. She check in with me to be sure I was okay. You know what? I didn't feel I gave her something that she didn't get in the early years, when her and John had split. And that was to finally have a closure on their relationship. I wasn't scared of them meeting one another. You know, I just knew where it was going, and I saw fears on both sides, and I saw where the whole thing started and how it happened. So after they talked, everything was fine. And I mean, it was great. She would call to talk about, you know, some things, and you know, John said, go give my love to so-and-so in Liverpool, you know, whatever, you know, who mutual friends. They didn't have that a nervousness about talking to one another anymore because they had hashed it out. And that was very important. And I wanted to see family. And that's why it was important that John would always have to call Julian. I mean, I was like on clockwork. I mean, they would tell me, you got to call him. It's time, you know. And it was for the better. And, you know, he enjoyed it. He was so, it was so shocking that it didn't happen before this. And then on top of it, I said to him, I said, you know, it's great, you know, Julian's growing up, you know, to be such a wonderful young man. And, of course, he was like 10 years old at the time, and he was really wonderful. And he said to me, and he turned to me, and he said, it's all Cynthia. It's all Cynthia. And that was the nice thing.
Yep.
And I'm glad he said
that. Well, and then
and
bearing in mind,
but
he was,
you know,
10
what?
Years
but
old, and you weren't
recognized.
Even 15 years older than him. I mean, people don't understand. You were a young woman, and 23-year-olds now pale in comparison to 23-year-olds back then. You know, it was a lot. It was a lot for you to take on. It was a lot for you to deal with. And in fact, you really had to suffer the loss of him twice. And, you know, first when you split up, and then, you know, when he was murdered. And
well, yeah, you know, and it's the whole funny, it's a weird part, because even though we split up, we never really split up, because the fact is we were always in touch even to the very end. So it never...
Well, that's why I'm saying it was a loss for you twice. You know, you had to go through, mourn the loss again. And so for that fact, people who assume or who speak of their knowledge when they don't really have it is a double disservice to you. You know, I mean, I would find it very frustrating, because you know how confrontational I am, but I can't even imagine, you know. I can't imagine, May. I really can't. And, I mean, I've known you for a long time now, and it's not like you sit down and say, oh, let me share this story with you. It's not, you know, things will come up, we'll laugh, we'll talk, and it'll remind you of something, and I'll say, down.
I know, I've had more people, you know, recently, you know, with my cooking, I mean, somebody said, you got to do a book on cooking here, hold on. I just do things that I love, and, you know, it's, and then the other myth was, oh, you know, she was paid, no, I was not paid to do anything. You know, there's all these myths that went on, nobody realizes, no, I was not paid. I was not a paid employee to go with John. That's not how it happened. No, Yoko did not send us to L.A. We went on our own. There are a lot of little things that have gone on. So people don't know that that's not the way it actually happened. You know, there's a lot of that. It's only whatever people want to know, And, you know, they want – I mean, well, I read something once, and just to stop you for 1 second, where you said that, how do I feel? It is angry at times, but the thing is, I remember reading somebody said, oh, it's only Yoko, that's it, I don't care who May Pang is, whatever. And I was just reading, and, you know, I chuckled. I said, that's fine. And somebody else said, well, if you want to know the truth and you want to know the history, then you got to include her. You can't just say, I don't want to know about her, because she was a part of that life. And people don't realize.
Well, and to include the growth and the metamorphosis of John Lennon, because whether she wants to agree with it or not, the time that he spent with you was some of his most prolific music. So, you know, as a single artist, you know, as him by himself, not part of the Beatles. And when you met him, he was already going out of the Beatles. I mean, that was you were there when he signed the paperwork.
I've been in a lot of the key elements when he signed the contract. I'm the only person that I took the photo. One of the last photos of John and Paul together, we got that together. One of the good times of him and George, we all spent them. We actually went to see one of George's concert, one of the last concerts that he performed in New York, you know, a Dark Horse one. John and I went out to Long Island. You know, there were a lot of key elements and a lot of those radio shows that you hear him do. You know, he plays a DJ with him. You know, I'm there. That's all during my time. Howard Cosell was all during my time. You know, I mean, I could tell you what's what. Where, you know, and and I sing on one of his songs as well. A lot of people still didn't know that to this day. So, you know, Number 9 Dream, that's to me, and he's written a song about me. So I'm very grateful, but I'm just also happy that I was there to sort of put together some of the things that he had been missing out for a while.
Well, yeah, and there were a lot of misconceptions about him at the time, and in truth, he really was very creative and
he wasn't as drunk and in drugs as everybody wants him to be, because you know what, when it came down to copy on the newspaper, which looked better, Mr. lesser known or John Lennon of the Beatles, you know? So we always got the brunt no matter where it was, even though it wasn't him and it didn't happen that way. And people forget, you know, I think the biggest, one of the misconceptions also is the fact that when John, there was a picture of John with where Harry's holding him back and he's looking into the camera. He's about to fight this guy or beat him up. What people don't realize is John couldn't see. Is that the troubadour? They couldn't see. So his glasses had fallen off. He was as blind as a bat. Seriously. He couldn't see 2 feet in front of him. And then with all the photographers just flashing, and all you see is light, and then all you see is figure coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
He just went into, like, his old days of somebody's attacking him. So and you can't blame somebody when they're in that mode, because he couldn't see. People don't realize he could not see beyond 2 feet in front of him. And he didn't have his glasses.
That's why I'm saying it's so much more complex than people realize. And they want to believe the salacious, and they want to believe the scandalous, because I don't know why we do. Why do we do that as human beings, May? The scandal and the horror is much more appealing. Is it because it makes our mundane or whatever our lives are at the time just look all that much better? We need that constant puff up? I don't know.
You know what's really funny? When my book first came out, Loving John, I went and did a lot of interviews. Now, I was nervous because these were the first times I ever did an interview. And this girl grilled me to death, one of the reporters, just grilled me and says, I can't believe, you know, yada, 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 you went off with John and Yoko didn't get... And I said, it's much more complex than that. It's not simple black and white. And so when we're talking about, she's hitting me hard. Well, we got off the air. She goes, you know, I know what it's like. I'm in the same situation. I just looked at her like, what?
What?
Yeah. So to me, it was like, so everybody's own situation is very similar. Only mine is more public. But they had the same. I was looking at her like, you just practically said, can't be, this is so impossible, and you're telling me now, as we're off the air, there's something similar to yours? Oh,
that's crazy.
Well, see,
that's
what
I could go on and on and on about now we have, you know, TMZ and Perez Hilton and all these, you know, where they have these little sound bites and these little Instagram pictures and these little moments. And back when all this happened to you, it wasn't crazy like that. It wasn't a 24/7 presence in your life. You were able to build a private relationship with this man. And that's what people don't account for. They don't account for, okay, well, when the door closed, you were there with him and you had a life together.
Right.
You know.
So,
and
you know, for whatever, on to the next book.
Well, yeah, exactly.
To correct some myths.
Exactly. Well, yeah. you know, I'm always going to be, you know, batting you about the ears about when that book's coming out, and I will
I know.
But you know, it just, I 2016 so far has started out with such a, it's been such a rocky ride.
I mean,
of which,
you know,
did you happen to catch any of the live performance of Grease last night?
No, you know why? Because I was busy. I'm just getting ready. Because there's big changes in my life that's happening, so there were things going on. So I think when Grease was going on, I think I was at TJ Maxx shopping with one of my girlfriends. You know,
well,
she wanted to go. Well,
it was a huge undertaking, and the kudos really go to the director. You know, because they had horrible weather, and you know, and the supporting
horrible
cast
weather.
Was stronger.
What was
yeah.
it?
It was
what
in California live, and it, I mean, they did it on the Warner Brothers soundstage, and.
It wasn't indoors?
No, they went outside, they went inside, and the supporting cast was stronger than the lead cast, but Mario Lopez was in and out of the show, like, and I didn't watch it to the end, sorry, half the true confession, because I'm just not a musical girl, but he was in, it was like, almost like that, what's that theater where the guy sits with the robots and he watches bad horror movies and makes a commentary?
Oh, you know, the one I'm talking about?
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
like I can't remember the name.
Something 2000 theater or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
It was
right.
almost like that. It was like, why is Mario Lopez on the show? Well, why? It's like I almost think, May, he was like photobombing the live performance of Grease. I couldn't figure it out, but he was on it. It was a huge undertaking. They had some mic problems, but it was live TV, and that's, you know, it would be the same as if you went to a play, you know.
Yeah. No, no, and that, listen, I give kudos. Julianne Hough was one of the main actors on that, right?
Yeah. She can dance.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Next, let's see. What is coming up? Let's go on to something else.
Okay, so we have we're out of Mercury in retrograde. We're out of that horror.
Oh God.
Okay.
Thank God.
Magnetic pull down. So now we're headed toward Chinese New Year. What does Chinese New Year really? Is it because their calendar starts like when you're born?
It's a
as
lunar.
A Chinese,
it's a lunar calendar.
It's a okay,
lunar
it's
calendar.
A lunar calendar.
Yeah.
All right. So when you're in the Chinese culture. Are you one the day you're born?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, I remember, I think you told me that. So you're one the day
yes.
you're born.
So one, all of a sudden you're 1 year older than you want to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
But now
you are one.
Do you have to go by that or you don't, you can go by the standard that we have now or it's your choice?
Well, I go by the what is it? The calendar, the Western calendar.
Oh, hell
how
yeah.
It,
I mean, who wants to be a year older, you know? But,
yeah. No,
I,
but when the but in the Chinese calendar, I you know when we're in, when I'm talking to my relatives, we talk about the Western calendar, but we do talk about the Chinese calendar. So I am
Chinese
considered
calendar.
1 year older. Yeah, yeah.
So we're coming
we do
up
both.
On the year of the monkey.
Yes, yes. The red monkey, I believe,
the
too.
The red monkey. Okay, now what would be the difference
enough.
Between a red and, I mean, is it just a more amplified
No,
monkey,
I think the, each one rep years when it's like the tiger, if it's a, it's all, it represents their attributes of a, what a red monkey as opposed to a another type of monkey.
Oh, okay.
See, I haven't read up enough. On it, but so each one has their own little attributes. So you want to know what it is and who it affects. you know, what year you were born in. You know, if you could be born near the tiger, but the thing is, like, that's what I am, but which tiger are you? You know, what were the attributes when, you know, at that time?
Yeah, I don't like, I'm year of the goat or sheep or whatever.
Oh,
I don't like mine.
If you're a goat, you know who you are. You're with my daughter.
I don't like that. I don't mind being with your daughter. I don't like being the goat. I much prefer to go by the Native American one, which means I'm year of the wolf, okay? So
okay.
I'm
wait a minute.
To follow.
Well, I'm just trying to remember who's everybody. I think Tony is this year. He was born in the year of the monkey. Maybe it was Seb? Wait, no. It was definitely, it's a every 12-year cycle, you know what I'm saying? So so it would be Laura. I
wanted to
Laura's
be cool, like, you know, year of the dragon. My daughter's a year of the dragon. My son's year of the horse. I don't remember what their father, I think their father is year of the pig, certainly.
The horse, I think, it's everybody. They can look it up, and then, you know what? I'm the year of the tiger, and in Chinese customs, a lot of the women never talked about being the year of the tiger because that's a ferocious, and it's very manly, and if you're a woman, they don't like, because then you become very opinionated, as we are, and very forceful. So a lot of women would never say that they were born in the year of the tiger. I could care less.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Yes, I could care less. But you know what? It does represent what I am, because the fact is I'm a little fearless on you know, I go out and I do a lot of things that are with a man, you know. I'm more of a leader. That's why they don't like women, once they get married, they don't say that they're born in the year of the tiger and things like that.
Funny.
I know. But anyway, if anybody wants to, you know, they can challenge me.
Well, I mean, I'm all for starting the new year over. We lost so many people in January.
You know, the last one was Paul Cantor. Yeah, we lost Paul Cantor from the. I mean, it's just, I just couldn't. I have no more words. I'm just glad January's over. We are now getting into the Chinese New Year, Year of the Monkey. I would love to see a new set of things, and you know, it changing. I just need new change. Change. I want to go out there. I would love to do some more seminars. I would love to speak. You know, people don't realize I'm one of the last people also that got to jam with John and Paul. That was their last jam together. And there I was playing tambourines with Mal Evans. The whole lot. So me and Paul's on drums. Linda's on Hammond organ. Stevie Wonder, you know.
Well, you know what, and I mean, people do want to hear the stories, and what better way to hear it from people who were there instead of reading it from someone who's surmising they were there, only repeating stuff that they heard that isn't even
or read
necessarily
and misreading
true.
Some of the stuff that's been misread and all that. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
Hey, we're winding down, so I just want to say.
We have some great guests coming up for the month of February. Today we just thought we'd do a catch-up day because it's been a while since we just chit-chatted amongst ourselves. We did that.
We got some people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're good. We're good.
Yep.
And
we're good.
And like I said, there's a lot of things happening. Me, I'm just making my wonton soups. You know what I mean?
Okay. You're killing me with the food. I just want to tell you the pictures of the food. Cynthia has not lost one stinking ounce. In fact, I probably have gained some weight on my I'm only going to eat healthy food. So, yeah.
I'm just telling you, if you lived closer, I'd be cooking
me.
And you'd be coming over. I had some, you know, making that soup was great. I'm you know, I'm enjoying the cook. So, that's where I am.
All right.
And,
go get your pots and pans
out. Let me say something. Genya Raven has a limited run. I love Genya. From the punk era here, you know, Genya's out there. They have a play. I'm going to go see it tomorrow night based on her. And people should go out and just check it out. It's going to be it's a limited run. It's on Broadway. Yeah.
Support the arts.
Yeah, support the
arts. All right, Chicklet. So we're going to say adios until next week.
Adios.
That's Miss May Pang, and I'm Cynthia Nielsen. You've been listening to Dinner Specials on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.